Hello, and welcome to today's best podcast ever. I am your host, Jason Barton, and today is March 19th. I have my cohorts in action.
April Mitchell.
And Chris Scott.
And we're going to bring you a wide variety of things today, I hope. We're going to be talking about Comic-Con updates, video game news, including WoW, Sony, and maybe the top game releases this past month. And let's see, we got some entertainment news. Some D&D news, and some talking some tech. And birthdays. Can't forget my birthdays. So, let's go ahead and throw in those Comic-Con updates real quick, because I know all you people are really waiting to hear this.
It's one Comic-Con, mostly. Actually, it is just one Comic-Con. It's Motor City Comic-Con.
Woo!
Last time I announced that Sean Astin was showing up, which is only common knowledge because he's going to be in Indiana a month before. But it looks like we've got updates to the media guests. We now have Barbara Eden of I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh.
Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie Payton, who's King Ezekiel in The Walking Dead. They're going to be there. But I also read that they're going to do a special Weird Science reunion photo now that Kelly LeBrock's there. And for your picture with all three of them is $100.
Mm. I can't say I'm a big enough fan.
I never was. I mean, the movie was good, but it's not worth spending $100.
I completely agree.
Actors, but yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's going to be people who are all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. You know, you will have some guys that'll be all like, oh.
And you know what's funny is she's only 56 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks. She looks a lot older than 56, let me tell you. She's had some work done. The only thing that you can tell is the same as her lips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sad but true.
Yeah. Those are some good people. I'm good about that. I'm happy about that.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we will.
I plan on meeting John Barrowman there. And then I spend the rest of my time walking around with you. Because I'm going to spend Indiana meeting Carrie Elwes and Sean Astin.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll see some of the followers of ours there, too. Anyways, yes. Video game news. I'm going to start out with some World of Warcraft. I don't have much there. Pre-patch 7.2 started downloading for all those who saw this last Tuesday. Their downloader in the background, possibly causing lag issues for people, although it shouldn't. But we think that might have been part of the case. And then 7.2, I just want to reiterate, is going to bring something that I really love, Mythic Keystone Karazhan.
Mm.
So it'll now be on a Mythic Keystone, which will be pretty awesome. It's going to take forever, though. But, they're separating parts of it, so it's not going to be as bad. But, anyways, there's the artifact item, Drape of Shame, which has been talked about a lot between healers, because what it does is it increases your critical heals by 10%, which is a huge increase. So, especially for those who do crit-based stuff. Yeah, it's almost like a necessity for, like, Mythic rating level. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're going to probably be nerfing, although they will be nerfing it to 5% with 7.2 patch. So enjoy it while it lasts. Un'Goro Madness has just started. It's giving what looks to be a 3-day buff to damage movement, to your damage, to your movement speed, and to the size, just your overall size, while reducing damage taken. It stacks up to 20 times, and then after that, you're going to be getting what's called an awesomeness buff, so which does absolutely nothing, but just says awesomeness. So I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know if you can carry those into dungeons, though, but I think it's worldwide, you just get that buff. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. Magical damage seems to be throwing off the balance of tanks in Nighthold. Blizzard will be evaluating the situation for tombs. We know this for a fact because Al was complaining about how much damage he takes because it's magical, and he only has like a few things that can mitigate it. Mm. Whereas Ellie has this ability called Iron Fur, Mark of Ursul, which gives her kind of like this anti-magic shield, which reduces the amount of damage she takes from magic, which is kind of ridiculous. So Blizzard may be rethinking about reworking the whole Mark of Ursul. So, we'll see what happens there. They also mentioned the Windwalker monks don't seem to have their DPS scale with their weapons correctly, and they'll be reevaluating that. So hopefully the Windwalker monks will have something there. So that's cool. That's all I got for Blizzard news and for World of Warcraft. I do have quite a bit of Sony news. Sony is going to be soon stopping the production of the PS3s after 10 years. So that's kind of sad about that. But, you know, everybody's moving on to PS4 anyways, which is what they want everybody to do. So, or PS Now. You just go play it on PS Now. You don't need that PS3. Go sell it. Go play it on PS Now. Anyways, Sony announces Horizon Zero Dawn exceeds 2.6 million units during its first 2 weeks of launch sold. This is the best-selling new first-party IP launch on the PS4 today. And I can understand why, because that game is fantastic. And the trailers do it justice. In other news, and the last bit of news I have for video game news, the top 10 best-selling games of February, Horizon Zero Dawn, was released late February, so it's not in this top 10, because, you know, the company that was doing it, NPD Group, publishes reports every month for, like, best-sellings and all that. So here's the top 10 overall for February. I didn't really hear a lot about this, but I've seen the trailer, and it looked pretty good, although it's kind of more of a teaser trailer. For Honor was number one. And, of course, I expected this to be up there. What would you expect number two to be if you're think horror?
Resident Evil 7.
Yep. Resident Evil 7 is number two. Grand Theft Auto 5 is number three. Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't have expected this, but NBA 2K17 is number four. So there must be a lot of people who like basketball. I could kind of expect this. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare was number five. Rainbow Six Siege was number six, which the game has dropped in price, which is probably why it's selling so much. And these could be related to sales, too. Madden NFL 17, Battlefield 1 was number 7. Or sorry, 8. Nioh, N-I-O-H. I don't know. The game looks interesting, but I don't know. I'm on the fence about buying it. I'm going to wait for it to drop the price. That was number 9. And then number 10, Overwatch.
Overwatch.
So, huzzah for Overwatch. For PS4, it's about the same. For Honor, RE7, Grand Theft Auto 5, Nioh, NBA 2K, Infinite Warfare. Kingdom Hearts was on there, which is kind of cool. And that was pretty much it, the only change. And then for the Xbox One in the top 10, it's pretty much mirrors what you see for the top 10 overall. So I thought that was interesting. That's all I got for video game news. I'll be interested to see how Horizon Zero Dawn pans out for March. I bet it'll be the top chart, maybe like number one on sales.
So, most likely.
Yeah. Such a good game. Chris!
Yes!
You got some entertainment news for us?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Okay, so some of the biggest things, I've heard some pretty big things that have been coming up lately. They are officially tapping, stepping up, and they are going to actually do a standalone Venom movie. So not only are we ending up with a Spider-Man movie by Marvel this coming year, we're going to end up with a Venom standalone next year at this point. Now, hopefully it ends up to be a lot better than the shit we saw in Spider-Man 3, one can hope. So I know there's, from what I've seen right now, Sony's going to be working on that one, and it's probably going to end up to be a late, an end of the 2018 release on that one.
Yeah, I heard they bumped another movie to do it.
Well, I definitely have heard Aquaman got knocked back.
Yeah, they bumped Aquaman and Venom's.
Why am I not surprised by this?
but you know what? Honestly, if I can actually spell Aquaman properly, they've now got Aquaman set for Christmas weekend, December 21st. I'm okay with that.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, think about freaking Rogue One. Well, hell, the last two Star Wars movies, Force Awakens and Rogue One, both came out within, what, 2 weeks of Christmas? And,
yeah.
I mean, that was perfect. I mean, I thought both of those did well there. And you know what? Honestly, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen it. There's been the video that they've put out that you actually see what they're doing with the green screen to do the underwater effects. Kind of looks a little interesting. I might actually be impressed with it. Enthused. I was going to say enthused by it.
Yeah, I'm going to say that they're probably going to do Aquaman justice because they have to.
Yeah.
They have to.
I know I mentioned it last week with the Wonder Woman trailer, but I mean, so many people have just been have been enjoying the fact that that's been out and, you know, that it sounds, I mean, hopefully. I mean, did you guys ever see Batman vs. Superman? I can't remember if I asked that before. Okay.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah. And a lot of people just pan that movie and just do not care for it. And, you know, they're all saying, well, Justice League's going to do crap and Wonder Woman's going to do crap. And you know what? I mean, I have a feeling that Wonder Woman is actually going to knock it out of the park and do some good work for DC's. But I mean, I know all three of us are, you know, I mean, we're a little bit fans of Marvel. I mean, obviously with Deadpool and all of that. So, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they'll actually do with Wonder Woman and all that. Next thing I've seen is, they're going to, for the Batman standalone movie, they're actually completely reworking the script. They're doing a page one rewrite. So that, I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign for that movie. I mean, there's
a continuation. Or is this like just a restart of the whole entire Batman series?
It's going to be a standalone Batman, which is supposed to be in line with Ben Affleck's Batman, because it's supposed to be Ben Affleck actually being in the role. So, that hopefully doesn't mean that it's going to be a bad thing. Of course, this weekend, Beauty and the Beast just came out. Right now, I'm seeing reports. Beauty and the Beast debuts to magical $350 million globally. Yes, Boonie. Yes, $350 million.
He's excited.
Yeah, I can hear he was a little excited. So, I mean, that is now making it the highest grossing March film. Fuck you. Fuck you, Disney, beating out my boy Logan this month. Damn you. But, I mean, we knew that was going to happen. We all kind of knew that was going to happen. Yes, Boonie. Yes, I feel the same way.
Oh, dear.
My new guilty pleasure show, Legion, the one that's based off the character from the X-Men, has now gotten approved for a second season on FX, which is going to be awesome. Because, I mean, if you ever want a show that will mindfuck you, watch that show. Because I talked about that the other week about Legion, and that show will screw you up your head. So that is now getting a second season. That's going to be exciting.
Good.
Yeah. And other than that, the most recent thing is, of course, still talking DC. I mean, we haven't really heard. There hasn't been much word coming out about, you know, like a new Spider-Man Homecoming trailer or anything like that from Marvel. Everything I'm hearing right now is DC. And the most recent DC. Next thing is, at WonderCon late this month, they might be getting previews of the most recent Justice League trailer. That would be the first biggest one since the teaser that we got where we saw all of them, including that whole fun scene with the Flash. You know, he's all like just looking at the Batarang as it's floating by him slowly, and he's like, I'm in. So that could be fun. I'm waiting to hear some news out of WonderCon at the end of the month. So that could be pretty good. I mean, other than that, I mean, that's the news that meets my opinion. So, you know, there's so much going on right now. Last other thing, of course, Iron Fist just came out on Netflix on Friday. I have not gotten to watch that. I eventually will, along with every other Marvel show that's on Netflix. God, I can't wait for the summer to show up. I mean, I need some downtime to be able to watch all that crap.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that should be hopefully pretty good. But other than that, that is my news.
All right, so in other news, maybe of the adventuring type.
I got some fun stuff for you all today.
Okay.
And before I get started, think of it this way. We have what no other podcast has. A mascot.
Yep. The mascot.
The barking mascot.
We got our barking mascot.
Barking mascot.
He alerts us to the car doors outside.
That's right.
So anyways, I got some D&D news.
Okay.
Pretty cool news. Wizards of the Coast have announced that there is a new, I don't know what to really call it, digital tool set coming out called D&D Beyond.
Hmm.
I signed up for the beta, so they're going to email me when I can go in and try it out.
Sweet.
Yeah, pretty much they're teaming up with Curse, and they're creating what's called D&D Beyond. It's going to be an official digital tool set that's to be used with the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition rules.
Sweet.
They're going to provide a rules compendium, a character builder, along with digital character sheets, and apparently lots more, and it's all going to be content that's officially from D&D. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make game management easier for Dungeon Masters and for the people playing. So by providing tools, and you can use it on any device, phone, computer, tablet. And you can even create and browse and use homebrew content. You can manage, build, progress, and play your characters. It's even going to have D&D news, articles, forums, and, you know, anything else you can think of.
Cool.
I'm going to post the link to D&D Beyond so people can sign up with their email to sign up for the beta. And I'm signed up, and this was, and I think it was announced most, the most recent updates to the information was like March 12th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, score! I got a natural 20. It says for me to please check my email to verify your beta sign up.
I mean, with me getting ready to run Curse of Strahd when he's done with the, what's it called, the something of Tiamat?
Rise of
Tiamat. The Rise of Tiamat. So when we finish the Rise of Tiamat, which, by the way, is a real nail-biter right now,
nice.
I'll be running Curse of Strahd, and it'll be nice to have all that so I don't have to have a stack of books in front of me, you know, noob DMer here.
Oh. Bonus.
I also read that they, Unearthed Arcana has done a new set of updates for a mystic class. It's going to be someone who's a master of psionics. And it now goes, the class now goes to level 20, has 6 subclasses, and you can choose from many new psionic disciplines and talents. There's going to be a soft cover book coming to Kickstarter soon. And it will be detailing the 7 full classes for 5th edition D&D. Hopefully they'll add this mystic class into it.
They also have mystic quirks under it.
Yep.
Such as never cutting your hair.
And they're also going to list any traits. But on this hardcover book coming to Kickstarter, which I might actually try to find and donate to, it will be detailing 7 full classes for 5th edition D&D. They originally appeared on enworld.org on EN5 EIDR, the 5th edition Patreon. It's been revised over time and updated after lots of community feedback. And now it's going to be presented as a full cover soft cover book. Yay! Or full color soft cover book. Each class will have, along with full class info, it's going to have archetypes, supporting feats, spells, items, backgrounds, and monsters to help make the most out of these classes. Mm. I'm going to list the web address for that one. It's EN World RPG News and Reviews. And then also, they've published the first 3 pages from a book called Tales from the Yawning Portal. So I have a feeling they're going to do a whole Yawning Portal book with all kinds of adventures and stuff. Because it's got that. And then it also had the first 2 pages of the Sunless Citadel from Tales of the Yawning Portal. This excites me, because the Yawning Portal was the inn you started at in Undermountain in Waterdeep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard them talk about the Yawning Portal at the beginning of this last adventure at PAX East, I was like, oh, I know where that's at! I know what they're talking about! I know something! I was very excited. So other than PAX East, that's my news. Me and Jason sat down over like Friday night and this morning, and watched Chris Perkins' latest adventure on PAX East that they had published. I'm trying to remember which website I found it on. I think it was the same website that I found the D&D Beyond stuff on. Hmm. What were your thoughts on the latest adventure?
Oh, for the PAX
East? Yeah, for PAX East. Because we all know my thoughts.
I liked it. I mean, of course you're going to like it, because it's D&D, and they're having a good time. Granted, I did notice they weren't summing some numbers correctly, but, you know, you got to excuse that. Some of the rules. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I love just how crazy he gets with, like, you know, I don't want to really spoil anything for people who haven't listened to it and are wanting to listen to it now. But, you know, just overall, just how creative he can be about the campaign itself. And, like, he takes, I think, the base campaign and then changes a few things to make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, and more interesting, unique to them. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a group. But, yes, that is fantastic. I would love to play anytime as him as a DM.
Well, see, I hope that they publish that adventure into a book, because I would like to own that book and run that one. I mean, come on, giants with hockey sticks and hockey pucks?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny.
Well, I think you know why I really liked it. Because they had a chick playing an elf.
Ranger.
She's an elf.
Ranger.
I know, but she's an elf ranger. So I knew I had a basic idea of what she was rolling for what, because I play a ranger. I was like, and I said, she's not.
You can relate.
I was like, she's not Anakin Hunter's mark. And then the audience said, Hunter's Mark. She's like, you're right, I forgot to add in Hunter's Mark. Yeah. I'm like, yes. And then last night, something she did on PAX East before our campaign inspired me to use the exact same spell in our campaign. I mean, I would have anyway, but it was just like, ooh, I said, I can do like PAX East. But it was neat. And I also learned a few things about my class from watching that. Like, I've been doing things all wrong.
Oh. Well, you learn.
But I also learned that I think I'm starting to get a better grasp on the role-playing aspect of the game. Because when they were at the very tail end of that, and they were supposed to be asking questions, I thought of one of the questions before they did.
Nice.
So, I'm really excited, because at the end of that one, they said that they're continuing on at PAX West, and then I went to Chris Perkins' Twitter page, and he's already come up with his costume idea for PAX West. So I'm like, come on, PAX West!
Yeah, for any of you out there who are interested in D&D and want to get an example of it, you can go to Dungeons & Dragons' website and look up the PAX. They have the video on there. So if you want to watch the PAX East and get an idea of Acquisitions Incorporated's game.
And they have their own podcast. I like to listen to their podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that is D&D news. I will try to keep everybody updated as the news happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess I'll throw some tech talk out there then.
Yeah.
Here's what I found interesting. So, how many of you have been hearing advertisements for Beauty and the Beast?
Who hasn't?
Exactly. Well, apparently, those who own a Google Home or Google Assistant are also included in those people who have heard ads. Because Google decided to start advertising for Beauty and the Beast in their Google Home and Google Assistant. Google Home is similar to Amazon's Alexa.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, you must say that word quietly.
And Google's response was, this isn't an ad. The beauty in the assistant is that it invites our partners to be our guest and share their tales. Holy shit. That just means that, hey, we're opening this up to lots of other people who want to share shit on our stuff with our Google Home Assistant. These people who pay $100-some for this device will now get ads. Well, there's a shit ton of backlash.
Of course.
And Google was swift to respond to it. We're continuing to experiment with new ways to surface unique content for users, and we could have done better in this case. We they acknowledge. So, yeah, I mean, I'd hate if Alexa would start, like, you know, sending out stuff. Oh, and maybe we shouldn't even use that word, because people might be using it at home and listening to this podcast.
Right. The Google device.
The Amazon device, Google device.
The Echo.
Yes, yeah, the Echo.
The Echo. Well, that's also a keyword. You can use Echo now. So you could say Echo.
I told you before, you can actually use computer like you were on Star Trek. Computer?
Yeah, some guy did that. That was pretty funny, too. Anyways, so I would hate to see it try to serve us ads when we ask it questions, because that would just be annoying. In other news, my super death ray that I've been working on might be a possibility. Not death ray, because ray would insinuate it's like a radio, like shooting radio waves. But this is a laser. My laser beam.
My laser.
Oh, there was pinky in that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys did see it, but I put pinky up. Laser beam. U.S. Army gets world's largest laser weapon system. A 58-kilowatt laser has been developed earlier this year. We have shown that a powerful directed energy laser is now sufficiently lightweight, low volume, and reliable enough to deploy on tactical vehicles for defensive applications on land, at sea, and in the air, stated Robert Asfeld, senior fellow for Lockheed's laser and sensor systems. Sweet. So, I think that's kind of cool. They meant, of course, I think air quotes, defensive applications. So, because I was like, you know, we're not going to shoot down planes with it or anything. Anyways, that's kind of cool. I thought that was, you know, even pretty awesome. For you developers out there like me, I thought this was interesting, and some of you might be bored by this, but Red Monk identifies 2017's most popular languages. So, number one, anybody want to take a guess? Of course, it's JavaScript, because the whole entire web works on JavaScript. Number two is the language I code in daily, well, for work days, Java. Number three, Python. Number four, PHP. Fifth and sixth are tied. It's C# and C++. Seventh was tied for Ruby and CSS, which is for design purposes of the web, cascading style sheets. Number nine, C, and number 10, Objective-C. So, just to throw it out there, Java seems to pretty much dominate, which is cool.
Oh, Java.
Who loves Java? Okay, in other news, in 2015, I kind of remember this, a 27-year-old boy named Daniel Boria tied over 100 helium balloons to a lawn chair and floated 2.5 miles above Calgary, getting in the way of commercial aircraft and putting hundreds of lives at risk. I should have probably hundreds of lives at risk. Boria was ordered to pay $26,500 Canadian, which isn't as much in U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. It's only about $19,000, in fines when he was sentenced last Friday. The judge agreed that most of the fines should be donated to a charity of Boria's choice. And Boria said, the stunt was worthwhile, and he regrets nothing.
I regret nothing.
So, I thought that was cool. Or sad for him. Oh, well. At least going to a charity is cause.
Yeah.
Yep. Coding for kids. Anyways, researchers at Oxford believe they've invented an AI that can lip read better than humans. Ooh. What was that TV show that we watched about lying and reading?
Lie to Me.
Yeah. So maybe they can make use of that. They trained it on thousands of hours of BBC News in collaboration with Google's DeepMind AI division. The system now recognizes 17,500 words and will keep learning as it watches TV. So, you know, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was kind of interesting from our standpoint, because I watch a lot of Netflix. I'm sure most people watch Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix is replacing its star system with thumbs up, thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. This is because people are 200% more likely to rate a video if they just have to give a thumbs up and thumbs down versus a star rating, based on their earlier, you know, I'm sure
that's true, because
testing.
Something that's really crappy could still be considered good because enough people give it so many stars.
Well, mm-hmm. It's just a thumbs up, thumbs down.
And
now. Everybody's
star system internally is different. Like, someone to someone else might be mediocre.
Right.
Might be just above average.
I might exaggerate more. Like, if I like it, I'm always just going to give it five stars.
So I think thumbs up, thumbs down is a great idea. It's more straightforward. You either like it or you don't. You don't get to have a varying degree of how much you liked it.
Well, there's always like, indifferent, and then down, but indifference don't count. So anyways, they will be introducing a new percent match feature that shows how good of a match any given show or movie is for an individual subscriber. So I think they're tracking your ups and downs, so what you like and don't like versus other people's stuff, and then they'll kind of give you what they think you might like based on people's other stubs, ups, and downs. So.
See, now I originally heard it was something because people were spamming the most recent Amy Schumer video and, like, doing all one star, or something like that, from what I heard.
Hmm. Well, it'd just be the same as giving a thumbs down, huh?
Well, yeah.
So nobody likes Amy Schumer? What'd she do?
I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. Not act? I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. Anyways. I mean, that's allegedly what I heard.
I can believe that. People have used the system, so they have to adapt.
Yep.
So, I thought this was interesting, considering I own a Nintendo Switch, and all you other people who own a Nintendo Switch should not be using it to browse the internet. Here's why. Nintendo Switch shipped with an unpatched 6-month-old WebKit vulnerability. This is located in the browser's engine, of course. So just be sure that when you're browsing safe websites, to minimize the potential threat vector, and browse only the sites that you know and trust. Until Nintendo actually patches this. So, if you have a Nintendo Switch, and you feel like browsing the web, you'd probably be better not to. Probably go on your phone. Hmm. Don't use the Switch. Because it has a pretty interesting WebKit vulnerability. People the guy who found it created like this test, and he just said this is just the beginning of what we could do. So, but it may be a way to unlock the Nintendo Switch. Maybe.
So, to unlock the new?
Maybe. So, I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Anyways, so, Switch users, just be careful. Don't browse the web with your device. In my last bit of news, and I thought this was interesting, Project Scorpio, which is Microsoft's next Xbox gaming console, will feature an internal power supply similar to what the Xbox One S has, which is kind of nice because you don't have that big, huge thing like into the power plug hidden behind your TV, which most people don't even notice anyways. But it's inside of there. And what's interesting is the 4K game DVR and streaming, which is supposedly going to be at 60 FPS. So 60 FPS, which is pretty awesome because that was kind of one of the hard things that everybody was getting anyways with their game consoles, but in 4K. So that seems pretty fantastic if they can actually follow through with that and actually get that consistent through all games. I'm sure there's going to be some slowdowns in the console, but... I'm sure it's a little ways away before we even see the Project Scorpio release.
Probably, so. Yeah.
Can I add something kind of fun to your tech news?
Sure.
It's just a little bit of movie and science humor that I discovered on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Here, we'll have Chris do it. Chris!
Yes?
Can you log up a browser page so you can go to, like, Google or something?
Look.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Look up O'ReillyAuto.com.
Go ahead, mm-hmm. 121T.
Just do it. Don't say anything. Just do it.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, go. You know where it says search?
Mm-hmm.
Type 1.21G.
Mm-hmm.
What are we buying today, Chris?
Oh, we are buying the flux capacitor. Of course, there's none in stock right now.
Oh, well, of course,
it's you know the best known item out there right now.
I know.
Yeah. Everybody, go to O'ReillyAuto.com. You don't need a little comma, and type in 1.21G in the search bar, and you will see your very own flux capacitor that you could buy.
Well,
granted, they're not in stock.
If they were,
but there's a little bit of Back to the Future for you.
It's an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's a nice little Easter egg for you. Enjoy.
Whoever at that company did that, I applaud them. I want to find that web programmer and just be like, thank you. Thank you, sir or ma'am.
I figured that fit in Tech Talk.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
That's funny.
Because I just remembered about it because I was reading something somewhere. I'm like, wait, I'm doing that. Okay, so since we're done with Tech Talk, sounds to me like we need some birthdays.
Happy birthday.
I only have one for March 19th, but this person's so popular that you don't need anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis was born today in 1955.
Woo!
I list the movies that I like him in. So I know he was in Sixth Sense, Die Hard, all of the Die Hards, The Fifth Element, Armageddon, Sin City, Grindhouse, and Pulp Fiction.
Hey,
Fifth
good
Element's
stuff there.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. March 20th, we have David Thewlis, born 1963. He's best known as Remus Lupin and the one guy in charge in Timeline. But for all of us old school medieval movie watchers and Sean Connery fans, Dragonheart. He was King Einan.
Oh.
That's where I first knew of him. And then also on March 20th, you have Freema Guyman, however you pronounce her last name, born 1979. We know her as Martha in Doctor Who. And Torchwood.
Martha, Martha.
Okay. And she was also in the Carrie Diaries, which was like a little teeny bopper show spinoff of Sex and the City, Carrie, when she was a teenager, but I didn't think it was very good. Oddly enough, March 21st, Gary Oldman.
Yay!
Born 1958. He was in Sid and Nancy, Bram Stoker's Dracula, The Fifth Element. Loved him in The Fifth Element. He is the voice of Ruber in Quest for Camelot. He's actually the voice of Ignitus or Ignitus in Legend of Spyro video games.
Yay!
He's obviously in The Dark Knight Rises, Red Riding Hood, but we best love mm-hmm. him as Sirius Black in Harry Potter, you know. Mr. Remus Lupin's cohort.
Mm-hmm.
He was so big that we only had room for him on the 21st.
Wow.
March 22nd, we have William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Born 1931. The only thing that really matters is he was in all forms of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have Andrew Lloyd Webber, born 1948. You know, Phantom of the Opera, Evita. He composed music. I think he did Cats, too. Yeah, he did Cats, too. Did quite a few. And I love his music. Oddly enough, Sondheim's birthday was that day, too, but he's not as important. He just did Into the Woods. March 23rd is Amanda Plummer, born 1957. I remember her from Pulp Fiction, but she's also Wyrus in The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Mm-hmm.
March 24th, we have Jim Parsons from Woo! The Big Bang Theory. He's also in the NASA movie with the black women, Hidden Figures. I want to see that.
Me too.
And he was in Garden State. And then also March 24th is Allison Hannigan, born 1974. She was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, How I Met Your Mother, and American Pie. And I just realized something. I didn't have a birth year listed for one of them. So, Jim Parsons was born in 73.
Mm-hmm.
He is older than we thought. But, okay, so back to birthdays and choose American Pie. Yay, Allison Hannigan, love you so. March 25th, love March 25th. Lee Pace.
Mm.
Born 1979, a hell of a lot younger than I thought he was.
Really?
Yeah. He's Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, because, you know, I'm distracting you, you big turd blossom. He's Thranduil in The Hobbit, which I think he's actually, like, a couple years younger than Orlando Bloom. So it's kind of funny that he played his dad. And he was Garrett in Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, a British vampire, one of my favorites in the movie. And then the other birthday for March 25th is pretty awesome. It's Richard O'Brien, born 1942, but we all know him as Riff Raff in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's astounding. Yes. So happy birthday to all you fellow geeks, one and all.
Woo!
Phineas and Ferb, too.
Phineas and Ferb?
Oh, Richard O'Brien, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was voicing someone, Phineas and Ferb.
That's funny.
But so was that Amanda Plummer chick, I think. So, anything else?
That's all I got.
Well, I did actually, as we were just recording this, I did go ahead and add in on the website right now. I did finally do my unboxing. Well, okay, doing the unboxing and recording the video was easy. It was the figuring how to actually compress it down so I could actually get it to a, you know, viewable video where it didn't look, where it was missynced or anything like that.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, you could upload it to YouTube.
Well, I did put it. I did eventually ended on YouTube, but I recorded it so at so high of a frame rate and resolution that when I tried compressing it, it ended up like crap.
Oh.
But luckily, thank you Adobe for your 7-day trial for your. So it is up there. It is actually on the website right now. It'll be right under the post for tonight for this podcast today. So. It is up there. Watch me geek out over opening up my dressing files box. I was quite happy. So yeah, I still got to play the game myself, and you know, I might actually, you know, I don't know, do a running goal of what I do when I finally play that. But we'll find that out. We'll figure that one out later.
Sweet.
Oh yeah, and I got my Nintendo Switch Puppy Dog Tongue Kickstarter stickers. They're very cute. You think they're cute?
Yeah, I think they're cute.
So you let me put it in the middle of that?
We'll see.
It's the only place to put it.
Yeah.
I supported a good cause, and they're cute. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
another thing that I'm not sure how soon, but there will be another review of mine coming up in the near future. Because I bought a book that I read back when I lived in Kalamazoo. And I'm going to reread it because apparently it's now a series. It was just one book when I started. But it's written by Ed Greenwood. I guess he's one of the writers for Dungeons & Dragons.
Cool.
And I remember I liked it the first time, so we're going to give it another go. Pretty much, he's a writer in the real world. And he gets whisked away into the world that he thought he was writing about. Come to find out, he's supposedly this main mysterious character that everyone fears in this new world. So I'm excited. It's been a long time. I forgot everything I read. So there will be a review on that in the near future. Switch stickers, anything else?
I got nothing new.
I also went ahead and I confirmed the D&D beta myself, too, right now. But yep.
Did you roll a natural 20?
Yes, I rolled a natural 20. No, other than that, no, I'm good.
Okay, so you can listen to us either on iTunes, Stitcher, or you can go directly to our website, www.ingloriousgeeks.com, where you can also find other tidbits of information, links, videos, a little bit about us, and some just overall stuff. Facebook, we are Inglorious Geeks. I mostly try to just update everybody about podcasts and blah, blah, blah. Twitter, Inglorious _ Geek. I'll talk during the podcast. I tweeted something to Chris Perkins. We'll see if he responds. On Instagram, we are Inglorious Geeks 3. Again, somehow I have us on Snapchat, but I can't remember what my handle is. So that is the social media in a nutshell. So on that note, we are the Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
Shut up.
And roll initiative.
And happy belated St. Pat's, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Or the March of Ides.
Yes, and beware the March of Ides. Et tu, Brute? Oh.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Later.
Drive safe.